Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Highbury Squad. It's been a long time since it's just been me and one of my favourite women in the whole wide world.
Oh,
welcome to the Pod Squad.
You're a schmoozer. I'm not the favourite woman in the whole wide world.
I said one of.
I think I'm your favourite gooner woman in the whole wide world.
This could be true, but allow me to introduce Princess Gooner 1969. What a year for you. You turned 50. There's so many good things going on. If only the Arsenal could back it all up, babe.
I think we should have a vote whether I should be called Gooner Girl 1969 or just Princess Gooner. I just think it's funny, all of it. Yes, yes, I was born in the summer of 69. They even wrote a song about me. That's how special I really am.
I know, seriously don't.
And you really don't want me to sing it either. But we're back, Soph. And as they say in the business, it's a two-hander. Did you like that?
Crikey. Hello, are we still talking about football?
Well, if Kev was here, and he's not, he would have told us off by now.
He would have, totally. He would have started talking about like 150 orgasms or something, knowing KC. We do miss our pod brother, who's very busy doing – he's like James Bond. No, what kind of assignment is he on? We don't know where he is in the world.
No, we do. He's watching football tonight.
Oh, this is true. Yes. He's watching the lad.
Yeah, he is. The boy. So we're hoping that Mr. Kevin Campbell's son does well. Right, you. We have got so much to talk about. I just want to jump in.
I've got your little handwritten note.
Well, you know what?
Hold on 1 second.
So why Sophie's laughing is that I still like pen and paper, and although I am very digital and I'm quite good at IT these days, like a little bit of IT, I wrote out what we're going to discuss, and she thinks it's funny.
There's a shadow on it too. I'm just trying to think if that's Jack's dinner or hold on 1 second. It's all in caps as well. I'm trying to make it. I think it says Xhaka at the top.
That's where we're starting.
Okay.
Well, actually, we're not. We just got to start with a few other things. Or should we go to Xhaka? Because.
No, start with your house. Let's start with some housekeeping issues, shall we? Yeah.
All right.
Go on then.
Well, it's
what's on your mind, babe?
What's the last time we did a pod? Because there has been so much controversy. I don't want to go over old ground, but I do feel like we need to mention a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Sheffield United.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Was that last year? No, that was 2 weeks ago. Fine. Right.
A nightmare.
I know. Leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that. Liverpool away. I don't remember if it's in order because I'm useless at all this, as you know. I don't remember what the last match was, although I do this time. So I should be impressed, everybody, because I'm rambling. Liverpool away in the League Cup. What a match. We were never losing at any point until the last penalty. And you know what? Willock's goal alone deserved to win the game. Although the Ox's goal was just as good, wasn't it? I loved it. I think as a neutral, I'd have loved it more. I loved it. I thought the boys gave everything. And then he goes and makes two subs, one at 4-4 and one
here
at
we go.
5-4. Now, I have to give Sophie some credit here because Kev and I, for weeks, have told her to shut up and give Emery a chance. But she has moaned about him for weeks on end about not knowing who his first 11 are, his best 11, everything, and just moaned. And I really, 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 and I don't want to discuss this now, but I'm going to talk about Emery in a minute, and I'm going to go to the really, really, really bit when we discuss Emery. And then what did we have? So he takes Ozil off, who was the best Arsenal player that night, and Torreira, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand. Now, most people were saying to me, probably because they're playing Saturday, I don't give a flying fuck. Excuse my language, right? Because we're not going to win the league. We're not even going to get fourth by this rate. So can we just go and win a cup? Because when I came into football at the grand old age of zero, which is about 100 years ago, it was all about winning cups, I'm afraid. Now,
damn
I know.
Straight.
Damn straight. But I know nowadays, for the youngsters who are half my age and your age, it's about getting top four. I wish top four didn't exist because it bores me senseless. And don't even put us in the Champions League with Emery. I think it'd be a car crash. Anyway, so then we move on to Wolves. Well, again, I sat in the rain at the Emirates and I was watching a game that I really could be asked to go to. I quite liked the formation for a period of time, and then he changed it three times, the formation, and I don't know what was going on.
But it was worth going to the game because it was a date night too, wasn't it?
Well, my other half's been coming to a few games with me, yeah.
Right.
I've been putting him through it, although he is a true blooded gooner, who was always there at Highbury as well. So, and he's a good guy to watch it with. He's not one of those annoying boyfriends.
He's very level-headed. He's very level-headed.
We sort of agree, you know, and he doesn't annoy me and I don't annoy him with football, which I hope. And he will be listening to this. Hi.
Early days.
Hi there. And he's coming to a couple of more games before the end of the year. But honestly, how many are you now? I've had a season ticket since like BC or AD, right? And I'm so at that point, I just can't be asked to go. I don't know why I'm laughing. Anyway, I would like to go back because there are a couple of things we actually don't agree on, which is good. So, Xhaka, we need to discuss this. And I'm just going to put my point forward. I know I haven't stopped speaking for the last 7 minutes. But
no, you keep going. You're doing a great job.
I haven't done a pod for ages, as you can see. Even though I was invited on one tonight, I can't do two in one night. But anyway, moving on. Xhaka.
Now, we're still talking about football.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Right. So I would like to say this. These are the facts. Okay. I was in the stadium and I've tried to explain this to you. You hear different things. You may not see different things, but you hear different things. So He wasn't having a great game. He wasn't having a bad game. None of them were any good anyway, right? But now remind me again who we were playing because I'm useless. I know it was only Saturday week ago, but my brain's gone or Sunday. Oh, Crystal Palace. Yeah, it's Crystal Palace. Right.
That's correct.
So the number comes up on the board and there are cheers. There are no boos. This is exactly because I've clarified it again with the people around me because I thought I was reading things that night because it wasn't true. And he got cheered. I did feel awkward, but for me, I don't want him in the team regardless of what happens after. I don't feel he's good enough. Okay. He then stood there, looked around. I think he put his hands on his hips and he went over to Aubameyang and he ripped off his armband and I think he threw it down and he stood there and then he started to walk off and that's when the boo started. Now, I didn't boo, but I understand why people did. And he is taking a slow walk off. I will let you come back, Sophie, with everything, and I will not interrupt you.
No worries.
Right. He took a slow walk off, and then eventually the ground just erupted. We are going for a win. What the fuck is the captain doing? Get off the pitch. Now, towards the touchline, Saka is standing there waiting to come on, and it all felt very slow. Now, I know you get 30 seconds for a substitute. This isn't the point. The momentum needed to be with us. He needed to give the armband and run off. He wouldn't have got booed. He would not have got booed. But he decided to stroll off the pitch. Now, that has been... I was angry. I was absolutely angry. I was like, get off the pitch. What are you doing? Right. As he gets off the pitch, he takes his shirt off. He doesn't throw it to the ground. He just... And then steams off down the tunnel to boos above there. Saka comes on and we're all looking at each other like, what was he doing? Why are you strolling off the pitch? So that is exactly the time frame, yeah? Now, you know, I've not been Xhaka's biggest fan, but I've not been a major critique, okay? I wanted it to work. I don't like any player. I never boo. I've always argued. But what I will say, and this is what I was trying to explain to you, Soph, I was at Liverpool in row two seasons ago when Mustafi got, when I say shed loads of abuse, It was so bad that at halftime I moved up the away fans, like to row 10 or 12, 15, wherever, and stood next to Claude, funny enough. Claude will verify this, because I could not take the abuse that Mustafi was getting. So to say Xhaka's the only one that gets it is very untrue. But I want to look at the other side, yeah? The abuse and disgusting vitriol he gets online makes my blood boil. No one on this planet, whether you're Granit Xhaka or me or you, deserve anything like that. I personally believe most of them don't go to the Emirates. I think they're keyboard warriors, and I think they've got no faces, if you know what I mean. Their accounts are just pictures, and they just are disgusting, vile humans. And I think combined with the cheers, then the boos, I think he lost it. Now, there is a part of me that sort of gets it. Okay, I calmed down when I got back and I thought about it, and I thought, I think he's just snapped. He's been played in the wrong position for God knows how long. He was made captain in a very strange way by Emery that doesn't help. So I don't think a captain should act like that. I don't think he should be our captain. And personally, and I know I'm going to get slaughtered for this, I don't think he should play for Arsenal again. I don't think it's good for him, and I don't think it's good for the club. I want him to be okay. I think he's given what he could, but him and Guendouzi do not work well together. Right, so we're going to that. So my point is this. I feel for him, but do not stroll off the pitch. Do not. I'm sorry. We are trying to win this. We were drawing at the time, I think. And I just couldn't understand. I've never seen a player do it. Now, I promise I will finish in 1 minute. I then brought up Ebuyi on Twitter and Facebook, funny enough. I was there when Ebuyi was brought on as a sub, absolutely fucked up religiously. The crowd went for him and Wenger pulled him off. He walked off down the tunnel with his head down and he got so much abuse. That boy then apologised to us, which I don't feel he should have even apologised to us, and said he's going to fight for his place and work harder. And from that moment on was loved, because you cannot treat the fans like that. Do not tar me or anyone sitting in that stadium with the abuse online. I have never abused a person in my life. I've actually never booed. So I will not be tarred with that. So when people are going, all Arsenal fans deserve this, that's not fair. I deserve an apology. I paid my money to watch my captain stroll off the pitch. So I've been very fair, I think. I don't wish him any harm. And I, you know what? I'm gutted he's gone through that. He had a baby. He's been a father. It's just disgusting. And you should be ashamed of yourselves. You really should. But for me, shouldn't play for Arsenal again. So.
Wowza.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And I totally respect your opinion. I think one of the things about us is that we can listen to each other and really listen to each other, which is what I don't think a lot of Arsenal fans are doing.
No.
A few things. Booing, cheering, throwing the armband, taking the shirt off, social media abuse. Let's just try and cover that in a short space of time. And one of the reasons why Amanda and I didn't record the podcast last week is because there was so much noise and so much chaos and so many people with so many different opinions. And there are a lot of Arsenal podcasts out there nowadays that have a lot of different things to say. And we just kind of wanted to see how this was going to settle out, because it's always interesting when you have an immediate reaction to something. And I think the issue with Xhaka is this. He's been a polarizing figure. He's been set up to fail by Emery, who had no balls to pick him as captain and then put that decision into the Arsenal players' hands. I don't know if you've seen today, Amanda, based on your last comment, but he's turned up to training today looking happy as Larry. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, so that was a little uncomfortable even for me, who had supported Xhaka in this scenario, and I'll tell you why. Because I met Xhaka here in LA, and it was an interesting tour because we were in the midst of evolution, making transfers that we hadn't done in years, signing, you know, potentially really big players, spending a lot of money. And we were also in that phase of who's going to stay and who's going to go. And so when Emery kind of put Xhaka as his spokesperson, I was like, what? I didn't get it. And then when I met him and I spoke to him and I saw him in the press conference and I saw the other Arsenal players and I saw how individual players behave, but then also how they behaved collectively, I thought, you know what? I totally understand why he is one of the spokespersons for the club. And I can see why other players like Xhaka, because I know he's been bad. I know he's given away many opportunities to opposing teams and has contributed to probably the most mistakes resulting in goals of any midfielder over the last three seasons. It's not a good stat, Amanda, at all.
No.
Especially for Arsenal Football Club. But as a person, I thought he was amazing. And you know this is true because I told you that at the time. I shared a picture. He was one of the few that was willing to hang out, take a picture. He represented the club with pride. And you could see it meant a lot to him. And I think that's where the reaction came from in that game against Palace. Now, did he make a mistake? Yes. Of course he made a mistake. He shouldn't have thrown the armband at Aubameyang. And that's what incited the crowd afterwards. But when you've put your work into this and you've stepped up to be a leader in a team of no leadership and you've tried, and you know also that maybe what's going on around you in the team is also leading to you making these mistakes. You know, he's the captain of Switzerland. Switzerland, if you look at Switzerland, how they've evolved over the last few years as a team, one of the main reasons why is because of the talents of like Shaqiri and Xhaka. And they're always in there qualifying for major competitions and things like that. So when everyone cheered him going off, and I've been there, in those situations, whether it's in the workplace or whatever, where I think to myself, I'm going to lose my shit here if someone says one more thing to me. And you try to contain it, especially in a professional setting. And I think the barrage of abuse, the fact that he's always the fall guy, the fact that it's always his fault, the fact that he's always the one getting it in the neck, got to him. And I think in football that happens. Look, Eric Cantona, one of the best players we've ever seen, in the Premier League, kung fu kicked a Crystal Palace fan. Holy shit, maybe this is a Crystal Palace thing. But it happens in football. Zinedine Zidane headbutted a player in the World Cup final on the biggest stage. Zizou is still revered. Zizou is still looked at. And of course, his talent is greater than Xhaka's, and he's one of the best players we've ever seen, of course. And I think that's where Xhaka fell short, in that if he was a player of an elevated perception that Arsenal fans loved and did that, Arsenal fans would look at it and say, he's passionate, he cares. But because he's not and he's been grilled, it's the opposite feeling, right? He threw the armband. I get it. It looked bad, right? I think the worst thing for him would have been if he'd have thrown the shirt on the ground. He would have lost me there. But I totally understood where this had been building and why. His wife has been abused. He's been abused. The social media people, the one thing that I was talking to the Gunner podcast about, which I didn't appreciate, was how foreign fans were getting blamed for abusing Xhaka. Now, I sat in the stadiums, and Mike from the Gunner podcast will tell you, Tiffany will tell you, Arsenal America would tell you, those guys traveled the entire country following the team. I never once heard anyone abusing a player in that way.
Sorry.
In fact,
sorry, people are blaming foreign fans for the abuse online. Oh, that's rubbish.
Yes. Yeah. Rubbish, right? So I can see that, you know, I can see why. And the reason why I posted my video was, I know he said F off before he came off, but when Emery went to reach out to him, I felt it was one of the biggest F offs, because it was almost like, dude, you set me up to fail here. He making him captain was the worst thing that they could have done. A polarizing figure who is, you know, who's made major mistakes, and now he's captain of Arsenal Football Club. It would have been so much easier to just give it to Aubameyang while Bellerin is coming back in the league and making it seamless. So why Emery has done that, I don't understand. And now today there's a video of him coming up on the pitch looking all happy and smiley in training. And I feel like we're brushing this under the carpet a little bit, Amanda, because now what's going to happen at the next home game? with Xhaka, are fans going to boo him?
No.
You know,
I
hope they don't. So I guess from this experience, what I'm trying to say is things happen in life. I've lost it at work. I've lost a promotion. I'm not afraid to say it. I've lost a promotion at a major film company because I thought I was hard done by. And I think Xhaka felt like he was hard done by. And I know that you're a very passionate person too. And you take these things, you know, to heart as well. He's human. He made a mistake, didn't he? He made a big mistake. And should he be captain of Arsenal? No. Should he be playing for Arsenal? Questionable. But our fans, and I'll leave it at this and you can jump in. We need to be, by the way, if you can hear snoring, it's my little dog. She's not feeling too good. She's on my lap. Arsenal fans need to look at themselves in the mirror. Who are we? Who do we want to be? You know, what are we doing? We're going back to where we were in the last season of Wenger, if we're not careful, Amanda. And in the summer, we were united. We were together. We were excited. We were like, Raul's the god. You know, we signed Pepe. We got Ceballos. And it's all gone Pete Tong. And why? Let's look at the bigger picture and look at the man who is the nucleus of all of this. And that is Mr. Unai Emery.
Which is weird because that's what we're coming on to next. Okay. So I'm very black and white in the way I work, think, talk, everything. So I've wanted desperately for it to work. Okay. I wanted our previous manager out for quite a few years. And I wanted fresh blood and I met him, when he just joined 18 months ago. He was at an event I was at and his passion and he was funny and you felt a fresh new start.
He's lovely. He's a lovely man.
I don't deny that. And I watch him up and down the touchline and he's so vociferous and he's passionate and I love it. But after, I always said I'd give him two seasons. After the first season, it was okay. You know, we lost the final. We got fifth. I didn't blame him for what he was left with as well. Then coming into this season, we signed Pepe and the whole world went excited, but I kept saying, till I'm blue in the face, we don't have a decent defence. And then they go and sign David Luiz. Now, I had non-Arsenal fans saying to me, what the hell are you doing signing him? And I was like, right, give him a chance. You know what? Just give him a chance. He might do well for us. Well, the jury's out on that one.
Luiz and Socrates are the modern day Lauren Hardy, maybe. I don't know.
unfortunately, Lauren Hardy used to make me laugh, but there we go. So I've always been worried about our defence. I loved the Tierney signing, you know, Saliba's on loan, which I didn't understand. And, you know, I just sort of went in with a little bit more sort of positiveness. Not as much as last year, but a little bit. Well, I'm completely drained and we're at the beginning of November. I know people are going to have a go at me about this, but it's my opinion. I've got a season ticket and there are times I just don't want to go. I feel that he does not play the right players in the right positions. You know how much I love Ozil. I don't have rose-tinted glasses to the extent of what people think I do. But watching him play just makes me happy. I thought he played brilliant against Palace and I thought he played, against Liverpool. And I thought he played brilliant against Wolves. He didn't play against Palace. And I just felt that the creativity we've been missing had come back. And then I got very excited when I was proven wrong, because I didn't think he'd be playing for against Wolves, thought he'd be on the bench, that Lacazette, Aubameyang and Pepe would finally have what we needed. And he puts Pepe on the bench. And that was it for me. It's been coming for a couple of weeks, really, in my head. I just don't want him as manager anymore. It's very sad to say, but I'm getting a bit sick of everything. I'm sick of the substitutions. I don't understand them. I'm not a professional football coach. Football in my head is very simple. You play the right players in the right positions And if they're not doing it, you change it. Now, he was quite good at that last year, but he changed it a lot. And I want to know what goes on in training. I don't know whether he's lost the dressing room or whether he has. But my point in this, and I'm not going to go on forever, he's not the right man for the job. Now, whether he was a stepping stone or not, and whether everyone's talking, there's a lot of talk about Mourinho. I personally cannot stand the man. And I have tried to go, but he could make us better. I can't have Mourinho at my club, and it is my club. I think
it was your club, we'd have won the Champions League by now, babe.
We'd won everything by now. We'd be bankrupt, but we'd win everything.
We'd have great shoes.
I couldn't have designed the jerseys or the tops any better, could I? They're fantastic at home, away, and third kit. But I just feel, I sit opposite Emery. I can imagine sitting opposite Mourinho looking at, I'd feel disgusted with myself because I've never liked the man. I don't respect the man. So
it's a tough one.
It is hard, isn't it? Because
if
you could guarantee me that he'd win us something and completely change the whole aspect of our team, then I'd have to give in. Because if he's the best man for the job, then let's do it. But you can't guarantee me that.
I could guarantee you this, Amanda? If he did what he did in his first season, and I'm not saying I want Mourinho as manager because I don't, but what if I could guarantee you that in his first season as Arsenal manager, he'd win Europa League, he'd win the League Cup, which Wenger never did, right? Am I right in that? Wenger never won the League Cup, did he?
No.
And get us back into Champions League football. And then he can bounce. Would you take it?
The
silence is definitely.
This is quite relevant because one of the questions is from the Gooners podcast and they've asked me and you. You must pick one post-Emery scenario, must be one. Mourinho, Pulis, or you begin supporting your local club, West Ham, instead, which is my local club.
That's got to be a Mike question, surely.
Yes, it is a Michael question, of course it is. We have to choose, and we've asked the questions, and we have to answer.
I'd rather stop watching football.
No, you have to answer one, two, or three.
No, I would say I would rather stop watching football than Tony Pulis be in charge of anything at Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I would take Mourinho.
Yes,
I would.
So would I.
Because I mean, look, he's, you know, Manchester United, if we take a look at the scenario, right? Was he that crazy knowing what we know now? Now, don't get me wrong. He's polarizing. He's a bully. He's a curmudgeon. He's a destroyer of
he's
club.
He's not Arsenal.
No, he's not. He's not the character of an Arsenal. But maybe Arsenal need to change their character a little bit. And I'm not saying him. But in his first season at Man United, he won the Europa League. He won the League Cup. And then when he said that one of his greatest achievements in football was making this United team finish second, do you remember? Everyone laughed at him and thought he was an absolute nonce. But now when you look back at it, you're like, wow. He was right. Now, is he the answer? I don't think so. With all the managers out there in the universe, Amanda, why would you go after him? You've got Allegri. You've got the Ajax coach that everybody loves. You've got maybe Tuchel at PSG who may be feeling disillusioned with his project there. I mean, who isn't disillusioned with the PSG project overall? And then there's this one fella. And I don't want to get onto the managerial discussion now, and we will, but there's this one fella called Arteta who, you know, played under Wenger, who was a pretty good coach for a number of years, and then has been the assistant to one of the greatest coaches of all time in Pep Guardiola. And when you do see, you know, what's going on at Chelsea with Lampard, and a lot of people then say to me, well, look at what's going on at United with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That ship started sinking once they gave him the job full time. It became too much for him. You know, Arteta's been involved in Champions League football. He's been involved at the highest level, Premier League. And he's also a former Arsenal captain. And I know he's a good person. Like, I know, and I say this and I don't want to give out whatever, but I know someone very close to me in my life that went to school with his kids. He and his wife are top shelf human beings, quality, class people. Like, their kids are amazing, right? And so when we look at maybe finding the Arsenal way, rediscovering our path, who we are, maybe Arteta's the one that could put his arms around everyone and say, okay, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. He's got a clear vision, a clear path, a way of playing football, maybe the Arsenal way of playing football. And he also has the respect of the club and can maybe bring in some of those ex-players that everyone's dreaming of and talking about. The issue with Emery is, and this is not a podcast for X's and O's. There's other podcast people if you want to go out there and talk tactics, because at the end of the day, we see things as fans, but we also see things as what's working and what isn't. But I will say one thing about tactics, and Amanda hit it nail on the head, playing players out of position. Torreira. Amanda, what is he doing to Torreira? What's happened to the man that scored the golden goal against Spurs, took his shirt off and had the most iconic moment? Great first season. Yes, he suffered from an injury and he kind of, you know, he wasn't as great towards the end of that season, but Torreira out of position. He leaves Pepe on the bench after having an amazing Europa League game where he scores two great free kicks, confidence. And then he brings in Lacazette, who still didn't seem like he was with the pace, did he? And these choices, what you're talking about, I think this is what's making everyone kind of mad. Is Bellerin ready to play? If he's ready to play against Liverpool at Anfield, is he not ready to play against Crystal Palace at home? Tierney, what, he left him on the bench like 2 weeks ago. Holding, what's happening with him? So I think you're right in that. What's he doing? Strategically, who are we? Who do we want to be? He doesn't know his best 11, Amanda. And at the end of the day, he's making decisions that I think are, he's actually himself making Arsenal fans turn against him when he had everyone for him, even after the Europa League battering against Chelsea.
I know. And the Arteta thing, he's never managed a club, so I have that issue.
But neither has Freddie. Why is everyone screaming for Freddie?
I think they're just desperate.
So what is the answer then? I mean, listen, do you agree with me that Arsenal Football Club are not the kind of club that are going to fire a manager mid-season? I don't see us doing that, do you?
Yeah, actually.
Only if our home form deteriorates the way our away form. Well, that's the only way I can see
it. So if we've got Leicester, which we'll talk about quickly later on Saturday. I think January, if he manages to scrape some wins the next few months, could be the term. But it's going to get too toxic. He's going to be unable to stay. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did something at the end of November. If you look at our fixtures come December, well, I don't want to go there. City, Chelsea. We've got Chelsea in. We've got Chelsea, then United, 3 days. The end of the year, beginning of the new year.
We usually do well against Leicester, though. I mean, I'm not saying there's a different Leicester team. Go on, okay, we'll do that later.
I just want to move on to a little bit because we've got to stop soon. But I would like to say as well that day one on this very podcast, I argued I didn't want VAR. I'm not flip-flopping. I'm not changing my tune. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. Day one, we had the ref on. When we had our other co-hosts with us, one of them desperately wanted it. And I said the same thing that I'll say now. You cannot have it for subjective decisions because it's all about opinion. Now, the ref's opinion should stand. VAR should fuck off and do one. Now, this is not because they fucked up. It's not because they fucked up in the last 2 weeks in so many different games, including ours with Chambers. It's ruining the game for me. I can see me walking away at the end of the season. I can't bear it. I get up and cheer a goal and I've got to sit down and wait and see if it's accepted. And I would like to talk about VAR a little bit and then talk about Gomez and that unfortunate tackle. That when you're in the stadium, you've got no clue what's going on. All of a sudden, you're looking at a screen and it says VAR or whatever they're doing. I can't be asked. You don't know what the ref's doing. Sometimes he stops for play and then it's not VAR. Honestly, us football fans are not used to it. Whether you enjoy it in rugby or American football or whatever it is you have it in, then that's different. But I'm not used to it, and I've watched football nearly 50 years. Hate everything about it. They're not getting the decisions right, which is making it worse. Now, VAR is not to blame, as we know it's the humans behind it. But you are ruining the game, and I think it's going to have to change quickly. Now, I've watched many games, not just Arsenal, I watch a lot of other football, where I'm sitting there going, how was VAR not given that as a penalty? How has VAR given that as a penalty? The thing is, it shouldn't be there for penalties. Unless the ref can go and look at a fucking screen that is on the side of the pitch that they're not allowed to look at. I actually feel sorry for referees. I actually don't know. I don't think they know what to do. I would, obviously, we're an Arsenal podcast. I'm going to talk about it. When Chambers scored, we all went mental because it meant A, we won the game, and B, my prediction was right, which doesn't happen often. We went mental. I didn't even think about VAR. It's down my end. It's virtually my eye level. There was no foul as far as I could see. We all went mental. And then he stopped it. But did he not only stop it? It felt like it stopped for an hour. Now, the rule is it has to be clear and obvious to be disallowed. Clear and obvious would take 10 seconds to look at, yeah? Honestly, I don't know how long it was, and I may be exaggerating, but it felt like 4 or 5 minutes. We were sitting there and I went to my cousin, it's going to be disallowed, it's taking too long. It's going to be disallowed, I just know it. He said, disallowed for what? I said, I don't know, but it will. And I was right. I hate being right when I'm negative, but I was right. And it went, we just couldn't understand it. Now, you're watching at home, you get 50,000 angles, you get the commentators talking to you. We've got nothing. So you might as well go and sit at home and watch it because you're going to get a better understanding of what's going on. We know nothing, so if they don't show replays, they don't do anything. All of a sudden, a purple screen will come up. VAR is reviewing it or whatever it is. As you can tell, I never read it. And I'm gutted. It's ruined. It is ruining the game that I love. Now, I know you're in agreement. This is one thing you are in agreement on. I want it gone, but unfortunately, I don't think it can be gone, but it's got to be rectified. You cannot. What is the point in having it? What's the point in me and you watching a penalty decision? And we go, well, I don't think it is a penalty. You're going, it is. Yeah. Well, that's life. You know, it's opinions. You can't have it for opinions. You don't need it for over the line because you've got goal line technology. If you want to have it for tackles, that's up to you, right? But it proved it wrong, and now we're going to go into this, about Gomez and Son. Now, both Sophie and I wish him the best recovery ever. I watched that after everyone told me how bad it was. I didn't watch it live. I actually had a tear. It reminded me of Diaby as well. It's a very similar injury. I felt so bad for him. I really did. But, and this will prove I'm not a biased fan, I actually felt bad for Son a little bit because I saw the fear in his face of what had happened. Now,
the guilt.
I don't know if it was guilt. I think it was just, I know, I'll let you speak in a sec, sorry, because I am speaking a lot. It's just come out now that his red card has been rescinded. I personally think that's the right thing, yeah?
Agree.
But I've got a lot of Everton friends who are saying to me, he went for him, Amanda. He didn't intentionally, obviously, want to injure him that much, but it was a retaliation foul, so it should be a red, and it's disgusting. Why is everyone coming out in sympathy for Son? I don't think they are coming out in sympathy, but no player in my head goes out to injure someone, apart from Roy Keane, who admitted it in his biography against Van Inge Haaland or whatever he was. I don't know any player that would, okay, intentionally do that. And
Amanda, you sometimes in life, right? I'm not saying that we wish bad things on people, but you know, we're human. Anyway, carry on. Finish your thought.
No, it's fine. It's just that a lot of people are, you know, we're Arsenal fans. We hate Tottenham, end of. There's no discussion on that. But I'm also me and you are also sensible Arsenal fans. We're sensible football fans. And you could see that, was it malicious? it wasn't malicious in my head. I've seen worse things, yeah? I don't even know, because everyone's saying Aurier, there was a part that he played. I've tried to watch it, and I can't really see what they're talking about. But about all of this, and I feel so sorry for Everton. I feel so sorry for him. I don't have that sympathy for Son. I feel bad that he, you know, he's got to live with that, you know. But I'd like to go back to something, just as we were talking about VAR. Everton had two Stonewall penalties that should have been given by VAR. End of story. Dele Alli's hand and the trip up in the penalty area. And I don't understand why it wasn't given. Every match is ruining it now. I feel like, just going back to us, I feel like we've actually beaten Crystal Palace 3-2, but we've only got a point for it. Because it's wrong to disallow that goal. So VAR's ruined the game for me.
And your prediction.
And my prediction. And I also believe we lost 2 points that we shouldn't have. And also, I know I've gone back from different situations, but I also believe that Son didn't mean it. But I wasn't at the game, and I will say to you that as well. We may not have seen the seconds before or something, and there may have been something. But I don't believe him as a player, him as a person. I've read quite a bit about him as well previous to this, and he seems a very decent chap. He does dive a lot, but it doesn't make him evil, does it? But anyway, so no. We wish him well.
Listen, do I think Son is an evil person? No.
No.
Do I think in the moment that he was looking for some type of retribution because of the Gomez elbow? 100%. If you look at a few seconds before the tackle, the way he went in, he went with an intent to foul Gomez and get him back. Now, Amanda, my point on social media, and I've lost followers because of it, and I don't care because it's my opinion. And there are a lot of people who also agree with me on this. A good friend of the show, David Levine, does not. Another good friend of the show, Pete McPartland, who hosts Toffee TV, sees it a different way. And we are Arsenal fans, and you and I always try to see things objectively. We call out our team and our players. We both talked about what an idiot Guendouzi was when he rugby tackled Zaha, did we not? I mean, what a stupid foul, you know, that was. We've talked about Xhaka going in. We've even had conversations about how beautiful Dennis Bergkamp was, but every now and again, the little Dutch master was a bit dirty when he wanted to be, right? So the point is that if Son hadn't immaturely, petulantly gone after Gomez, none of that happens. And you're right, the impact of the injury happens with a mix of the turf and Aurier. But if Son hadn't gone after him, none of that happens. And he did go after him. He was looking to get Gomez and foul Gomez. And the result of this is this. Now, I ask you this. If Diego Costa had made the same clipping innocuous tackle that Son had done, what do you think would have happened, Amanda? People would have been asking for Diego Costa's blood. It's because Son is playing for the shiny toy that is Spurs. The media love them. He's a very good player. He's seen as a squeaky clean player. And because of how he reacted afterwards, people are giving him more sympathy than Gomez.
Right.
That's been my beef on Twitter, Amanda. That's been the issue that I have with all of this. And the way Son reacted, yes, he's remorseful, but that comes from guilt because he knows what he did. I've done things before where I'm like, I feel guilty. I'm human. We're all human. Let's not act like it's Mr. Snow White here. And all the empathy that he's getting for me is kind of a little bit of a joke. He needs therapy. We saw what happened to Rambo, Eduardo, Diaby. I mean, yes, these things happen on the pitch, but let's not make him Saint Son and that he didn't have an intent to go in and get revenge on Gomez when Gomez had elbowed him previously. That's my point with Son. And then regarding the VAR, same page. I mean, the Dele Alli thing. Do you remember the earlier game in the season where Manchester City played Tottenham and Tottenham got that 2-2 draw after having 4 shots on goals and the... Right. So the consistency, and then I don't know if you saw, but Ruben Aguilar, I think he plays for Monaco. Did you see him come off the pitch in Ligue 1? He kicked the VAR screens. Yeah.
No, because I don't think any of them are enjoying it. I just feel like it's wrong. Now, we can say that, but remember Aubameyang at United, you know, when we were 1-0 down, Aubameyang scores. He's about 5 yards onside and the linesman disallows it. They go to VAR, don't they? And we get the goal back. But that's a correct decision. It's not just because it's Aubameyang. That's a correct decision. I think they're getting more wrong than right, far more wrong than right. And it's ruining the game. It's ruining it. There's a lot that's going on.
It's been bad lately.
They also say that there's a lot of journalists going, show VAR the red card. There's a lot of, I mean, Gary Lineker don't like it anyway. You know, lots of ex-players don't. Can you imagine? Oh my God. Roy Keane with VAR. Patrick Vieira or Robert Perez, for instance.
Pizzagate.
Oh my God, it'd be a nightmare. But you know what? I can't even say to you, well, it's here, we're going to have to get on with it. I don't want to get on with it. I don't want to. I really, really don't.
You said something on Twitter. I think it was you. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about it because I was just enjoying the game. You were like, in the Liverpool, I know it was 5-5 and it was a bit of a debacle of defending in the League Cup. But I think you were saying, you tweeted, no VAR, thoroughly enjoyed the game.
Yeah. And it was. Yeah. Yeah. It was.
It's true.
Yeah. I just sat there and I said to my dad, before the game started, I went, no doubt they'll get a penalty. He went, well, it won't be VAR. It's not on. I went, what? Brilliant. And straight away, I felt like the old me again. This is going to be brilliant. I didn't expect 5-all and penalties. I mean, I just loved watching some of our goals, didn't love watching some of the defending, but you're right. I did tweet that. I really enjoyed it without it. You know what? I pay my money. You pay your TV subscriptions to watch football where you are. And yet, we got no say in it at all. Honestly, I can see me walking away if it continues. I'll just sit at home and watch football. I'm not enjoying it.
Just remember, your dad's to blame for
everything. I just, look, it's been really lovely, just you and I. And we did tweet for some questions. And we probably covered a couple of this. But I would like to just bring in a couple of questions just quickly. David Ziegler, who is an American gooner who I met.
Love David.
Love David.
Great guy.
He asked, how can we start shutting down the toxic elements of our fan base? The embarrassment has gone on for years now. You know what's really hard for me? A lot of social media sites and things that they promote are getting bashed. Now, I feel that when I was watching football in the 80s and the 90s, and we didn't have social media, you know, mainly the 80s, obviously, I went to football, stood on the corner with all the guys, chatted football.
Even when it was bad, remember, Amanda, you sat through some dross.
Yeah, yeah, in the early 80s, definitely. We used to moan and stuff like that. Kev will even say that he probably heard me booing once, which is a lie because I don't boo. But but we'd moan about if Adams had a shit game or Lukic didn't play well or whatever. And we would be screaming in that car on the way home. We would be like, for fuck's sake, why did he put... Well, I didn't swear, but you know what I'm saying. It's not any different, unfortunately. It's different. The only difference is it's public. So everyone travelling home from the game, everyone going straight into the pubs if we lost, would be fuming. And if you put a camera in front of them, they'd be moaning about the manager, the subs, why the midfield didn't play well, why... Not the defence. We never moaned about the defence. But you know what I'm saying? You know, why didn't he pass the ball? And it was toxic. Unfortunately, the problem with this is keyboard warriors are ruining everything. They don't have any respect. Mm-hmm. You know, I will debate with any fan of any club. It doesn't have to be Arsenal. I have, as everyone knows, I have quite a few followers and loads are from all different clubs. Find it really interesting, their views on Arsenal, their views on their own clubs. And I'm just saying that I'd never abuse anyone. You want to come at me, you'll just get my sarcasm. I'll just show you up for being a dickhead that you are. It doesn't bother me. I know people get affected by it. As we said about Jacquard, it is beyond disgusting. Grow the fuck up and show some respect. And you know what? Whether you agree with my opinions or Sophie's opinions or you don't, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't matter. I love it when people don't agree with me, and sometimes I will change my mind. Absolutely. I love conversing with people.
And we can argue as well. Yeah, we never agree on WhatsApp.
No, we don't. And I'm just moving on to something a bit nicer, actually. David's part of the American Gooners, which you are, and I'm quite friendly with quite a few of them. And I had two of my friends over, come to watch the game Saturday, and we went out Saturday night. They sat in the restaurant with their Arsenal tops on, honestly, my local restaurant, and it was to see that they fly over every other year to see Arsenal. They don't just come to visit London. They do all that, but they're here for Arsenal. And anyone dares tell me that they're not real fans, I lynch at them, right? Don't ever judge anyone by where they live or who they are. If you follow Arsenal, you're as much as a fan as me that goes to every home game. I go to some aways. I don't go to all aways. So does that make me less of a fan than someone goes to all aways? Let me tell you something about my dad that people don't know. Maybe they don't. He's 73. I think that's right. He's followed Arsenal since he was 10. You do the maths. He's had a season ticket up to 2 years ago. He stopped going because he wanted Wenger out for about 8 years. He couldn't afford it so much. Arsenal wouldn't put him in the IAP set. It wouldn't give him an IAP price unless he sat in the section, which meant he had to leave us. And he gave up. And I got his seat. And if anyone dares tell me he's less of a fan because he hasn't been to a match for a year, right, he drives me insane. He's obsessed with Arsenal. Wherever I am, I could be at work, I could be shopping, I could be at home. He talks football the whole time. My poor mother, I've always said that. Anyone dare tell me he's less of a fan than anyone else are going to get me coming at them, because it doesn't make you a fan. It doesn't make you, sorry, more of a fan that you go to every single game and every single home game, every single away game. Sorry, no. The only European game I've ever been to was the Stade de France in 2006. Does that make me less? Or does it make the fact that I may not be able to afford it or I don't have the time? But does that make me less of a fan? No. And that's moving me on now to such a lovely story about an American Gooner girl called Jessica. Now, Jessica's dream is to come to the Emirates and watch a live match. She was on the tour in America this year, as was thousands and thousands of you lot. And she literally cried. It went viral. I personally, sorry, don't remember the video. I've watched it this week. And apparently she got some vitriol for that, but I think most people with a heart and sports Arsenal can understand that she just loves the club. And the Premier League and Arsenal have done something so fantastic that they're flying her over and they're giving her tickets to watch the match. When I saw this 3-4 days ago, I honestly welled up. I did, because I don't know her. She's not someone I converse with. I didn't know she actually followed me at the time. And I was like,
she's followed you for a few years, actually. She loves you.
It's just so lovely that, I mean, honestly, I'm welling up now. I just think that is lovely. Now, I've had some people that I know quite well think it's a bit of a joke, and it's not. Why don't they mention the people that went to Baku? Why don't they get away credits for that? That isn't her fault that Arsenal are disgraceful in that respect. Yeah? They're giving her two tickets and flying her over to give her a dream, right? She's so humble. And even when she got a little bit of abuse this week, she answered it really well. And so many people were so pleased for her. And we're pleased for her, aren't we, Soph? I mean, you understand what it's like. You're an English girl.
100%.
You're an English girl living in LA. But if you could come back to Arsenal all the time, you would, you know. But sometimes 100%. In life, people are so judgmental and so they don't look. As I said at the beginning of this podcast, I'm very black and white, but sometimes I do think out of the box, and sometimes you have to. This girl's dream is going to come true. And I watched Rebecca Lowe tell her, and then I cried again. And I just thought, and yes, for anyone who does think this is staged, it so isn't. And I'm so friendly with so many American gooners, and I'm so friendly with so many Aussie gooners and African gooners and honestly French gooners and just people that want to converse that have got a brain and are not abusive. And I've said to Jessica, just choose a match that you really want to go to. She would have chosen Tottenham, but obviously we played them. And I said, I'd love to meet her. I think it would be fantastic to take her around. I take going to the Emirates for granted, babe. 20 minutes from me. You know, I can go whenever I want. And I do go whenever I want. But people that live around the globe, it's not so easy.
It's, okay, so number one, brilliant and totally agree with everything that you've said. And, you know, to go back to Dave's initial question about Arsenal say that. Fans, the best thing is to win, to be a good team.
Yeah.
That turns things. We saw that on our 22 unbeaten run last season. We saw it at the beginning of the season when everyone came together and was united as a fan base. We just have to win. It's amazing how much Arsenal and Man United, the kings of the Premier League, have fallen. I mean, it, you know, football's cyclical, they say, but boy, are we both in free fall a little bit, and both teams need to kind of take a hard look at themselves and make some tough decisions. So that's the first thing. The second thing about Jessica, we've become so cynical as humans, haven't we, Amanda? Feel good stories now are judged. You know, do you remember that old TV show with Cilla Black, Surprise, Surprise? I used to watch that with my family. We used to sit there and it was a feel good show. She'd bring old families together, people together. Like, what is happening in our world, in our football world? All we talk about and argue about is VAR, the racism, the Balotelli issue again, the ugliness. And here is a feel good story. Okay, fans chose to go to Baku. If Jessica could have afforded to go to Baku for the Europa League final, she would have gone. And you know something? She does something, and I don't want to advertise what she does for a living because it was sent to me privately. But she does something for a living in a pediatric hospital that is very difficult, very tough. Like when you talk about a job where you see things every single day, people want to worry about Son and what he saw on the pitch. Humans, people, regular people trying to fight to make a living, put a roof over their head, pay a mortgage every single day are doing amazing things, helping people in dire, dire situations. And to point the finger at her and give her a hard time, whoever's doing it, is to me so crass, Amanda. I can't believe that we've become so cynical as people. This is a feel-good story. Arsenal Football Club, okay, some people may see it as what great PR. Well, you know what it is? That's the point. Here's a fan in the US. She went viral. You know, she was invited to the fan fest, which, by the way, if you see the fan fest going on right here with the Premier League games, thousands of fans showing up. They're doing another one in Miami in a few weeks. Jessica was the one, Austin. And it's an amazing... It's an amazing story, and I think we need to get behind it because there's so few. Are there not? What are the feel-good stories in football right now, Amanda?
This one.
Exactly. We need more feel-good stories. You know, sometimes when you see a kid in a stand and he's crying because the team lost in a cup game or a match, and then the team reaches out and says, hey, come meet the team. Is that bad? Isn't that good? Like, what is going on in the world where we can't see the good in something anymore? And you're right. Social media has a huge role to play in this. I've been called a whore this week. I've been called a slapper. Disgusting. I've been told to go back to the kitchen. I've been told to do some awful things because I disagreed with how people reacted to the Son thing. And, you know, we've come so far, and Kevin says this a lot with racism. People think we've come far. No, we haven't. And sometimes people think we've come far with women in the game. And you know what? You and I are witnesses to the fact that sometimes, just as Kev is to racism, that actually we haven't. Yes, we've made progress. Yes, we've come far, but we haven't in some ways. And you're right. The keyboard warriors, the absolute, what do they call them when you don't have any guts? what's that called? My brain's going. I'm losing my mind here.
Coward.
Coward. Thank you. Thank you very much. pod sister right there. These cowards, you know, who probably just have sad lives, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're adult people who do terrible things. So I'm behind the Jessica story. I love it. And I always appreciate you, how you respect the international fan base. And I think through our experience this summer and previous summers, you've seen that. And you are truly an Arsenal fan who's gone to games from yesteryear. And I bet you did boo Casey, but we won't tell him that. you know, and that's part of it. Where Tony Adams, everyone's posted the picture of him play for the badge on the front, and then you'll be remembered for the name on the back. And that's all we want. We want people to play for the badge. Fans pay season tickets. They pay a lot of money to go and watch the team. That doesn't give you the right to abuse a player. It does give you the right to have an opinion, but we need to come together somehow. And I think at the nucleus of all of this, Amanda, if we had a team that was playing well, a manager that people liked, would it all be a moot point? Maybe. So time will tell. And at the end of the day, I think we thought that we'd see a transition after the summer investment, but we haven't. It's gotten worse. And December could be we're not very good in November, are we, generally? And boy.
Well, let's chat, babes, about what's coming up. We need to do a prediction. I have Kevin's prediction. And for once, he's not gone for a win. Kev's prediction is 2-2 against the Foxes on Saturday night. Mine is a loss of 3-1. What's yours?
Okay, so earlier in the show, I said that we usually do well against Leicester.
Yep.
But they're really good, aren't they? They're very organised. They've got a lot of talent. Telemans worries me. Vardy's on fire. Luiz and Socrates down the middle there. Oh my God, this is a tough one. I'm going to gamble and I'm going to say we're going to win 2-1 because we usually do well against them. But it's probably my heart saying that versus my head. And you know, the last couple of weeks, I have not chosen us to win at all. But against this team coming off this, I don't know. There's something about it that maybe Leicester are getting a bit too cocky. Vardy's getting a bit cocky. I live in hope.
I don't live in hope.
One of my mentors once said to me, Nicolau, hope is not a plan. I'm like, sure, fine, why not?
Do you know what? And there's that famous saying, isn't it? That it's the hope that kills us. Expecting nothing but a loss for us Saturday night. So if we get a draw, I'll be thrilled. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
It could be high scoring too, couldn't it? It could be a 4-2 to someone.
It's come to the point where, sorry, Soph, what did you say it was going to be? I haven't written it down.
2-1, but I might pull a U and change my mind before I post my video.
I only pulled a me once and changed it once halfway through the week. I've never done, you lot don't forget anything, you and Kev, honestly. We're done. We've gone through everything. Look, you know, we wish Gomez the best recovery ever. Hope to see him back on the pitch soon. Don't really ever want to see Mourinho standing opposite me, but you never know. We can't wait. I can't wait to meet Jessica. And yes, you're right. I am a big fan of foreign fans. I love them. If I'm honest, and I'll get slaughtered for this, I think they're more passionate than us bloody fans over here. And I wish Xhaka well. And I think if he does play for us, that he won't get booed. It just won't happen. It just won't. And if it is, it's going to be a tiny, tiny minority. I just feel that it's not a good time for Arsenal at the moment, but I'm not going to go into it anymore. We're going to end it now. We'd like to say thank you for everyone that tweets us and listens and really puts, puts time into listening to us, because we're only a little podcast, me and Soph and Kev when he's around. Definitely. We love having Kev on, and we're going to have some guests on soon as well. And if you'd like to come on the show, please do. Just DM us on the Highbury Squad. Just follow us and DM us, and we'll go from there. And we really, really, really champion women in football. We really do.
Damn straight.
I don't know what else to say, Soph. I just feel a little bit negative about our team and club at the moment, and I'm hoping they have got the balls to bring someone in and change it, because I'm telling you now, every game after game after game until April or May, I won't be able to take it. Not with VAR as well, my God. So anyway, thanks, Soph. You can get on with your day now. Until the next time, it's always
thanks,
us.
Boo. Oh. I thought you were saying something to me. But wait, take two, everyone. We're not even going to cut this bit out.
No, we're not.
I jumped because I thought there was a pause and I'm like, oh, thanks, boo. But, you know, there's only one thing to say, Amanda, and you always say it so bloody well, babe.
Always Arsenal.